Praise and just say hallelujah. It's the highest form of praise. It's that when we think about all that we've been through, your heart should begin to just shout out. Now let's stop for a moment. No shape, form, or fashion. This is just from the earnestness of your heart. When you look at your life, you know the secret things that's going on in your life, not the things that you share with your spouse, not the things that you share with your pastor, or your minister, the evangelist, not even the ones that you share with your kids or your BFF, but those secret thoughts that you're thinking, those secret battles in your mind that you're fighting against daily. And God still allows you to shine out in the world. Everyone thinks that you've got it going on. To shine on your job, to shine as you're the one in the family that's keeping it all together. God's law of grace still forgives you for your sins as you repent for them. You know, not those things, and we hear some terrible things out of some of our mouths, and even the ones who proclaim to be following Christ. But those deep, dark secrets that when everybody else is gone and when it's got solid in your mind, that bottle that you can't seem to break, you can't seem to put down, regardless of how often that you try to get that out of your mind, that perversion that keeps coming up. But you're going around and you got a smile on your face and you know that it's just an act. You're really battling with some things. And you may be going and you're showing up at the right places at the right times and your face is discovered at all the church events at all the right time around the right people, but really, is your life showing the relationship that you have with Christ, or is your life just representing religion? Is that why it is that we are so easily to get so caught up in denominations, hear me from the Spirit now, that we're not allowed, or we will not allow ourselves to go sit with another sister, another brother that is in need? Because they may play music when they worship. They may bang the tambourine when they worship. They may be quiet when they worship. Their worship service may last an hour, hour and a half, and you just feel like that they don't have enough time to get together. Their worship service may last all day. Why is it that we are so able, that we allow ourselves to start looking at each other instead of lifting each other up, because that's what people in a relationship do? You lift each other up. You stretch out your hand to pull someone up to where you're at. You embrace, you hug, you greet with a holy kiss, because you are truly glad to know that they're not out trying to do against the word, but they're trying to edify the kingdom in some way. And you see them being blessed, and you see the blessedness over their lives. We need to make sure that the coat, that the clothes that we're putting on, the fancy duty we spend so much time getting together, is not just a cover-up to cover up what we really are carrying underneath. Not just a cover-up to cover up what we're really feeling underneath. That's what's going through our minds as we're sitting even in the church pews on our favorite row right next to the camera. But what are we really thinking? When your head, when a leader is up there and he's delivering to you, he comes with a message to deliver to you, what it is that he has got from our Father that we all say that we're here to hear from, that we're there to learn from, that we're there to learn to be more like. And so when our leaders get up and deliver to you, why is it that we don't have our hearts open to receive? Could it be because of all the deception we have in our heart? Could it be because we're all of the lies that we're thinking that we're going to tell? All of the conniving that's going on in our minds? All of the envy, the jealousy, and all of the thoughts of how we're going to take this man from that woman and how we're going to break this marriage up, or how we're just going to disagree with whatever the pastor says. If you're in that much disagreement with your leader, you need to leave, because you're blocking your blessing. You need to ask God for your brook. You need to be somewhere where that you can hear from God, that you can grow. If you're still handling situations, dealing with the same mess over and over again, and you still haven't found a way to get yourself to another position in your relationship, your relationship is not working for you. You need to check yourself and say, is this just religion? Am I just hung up on a denomination? Am I just hung up on the fact that I'm here because it's a well-known church, or because my family has always been here, or because I paid so much tithe in this church. Why are you where you're at? How did you get to that point? Oh, God bless us all. It's time. It's time. Somebody should just say right now, it's time to live life, not religion. Nicodemus had attended the finest schools of his days and was a ruler of the Jews. Yet, he could not comprehend the basic kingdom trust. He just could not get the basic. I'm not talking about the advanced version, but he could not get it through his mind. His flesh would not allow him to comprehend the basic kingdom trust, the truth. You know, the truth will set you free. You know, the truth will bring you out of darkness. You know, the truth will shine some light in the midst of all that turmoil that you're trying to hide. The truth. He was faced with the same choices as everyone else. And that was, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Now, do you hear the part that is not an option for you? But you must be born again. He could not get that. He couldn't understand that. He couldn't get past that. What is it that you just cannot get past? What is it that the Word has said, and we know that God's Word is true, but what is it that you just cannot accept? You said, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to do partially of everything. But I just don't think that God would want me to do this here part here. I don't think he really would mean that I must do and whatever it is in your situation. See, the truth is we all encounter events. We all encounter different things in our lives that make an impact in our lives. But you've heard me say many times, it is up to us of how we choose to react in life to what moves us. How we choose to react to the things that poke us, to the things that make you say, why is this happening to me? How we choose to react in life. It's what moves us towards our dreams. It moves us towards our goals. It moves us into a deeper relationship with Christ. How we choose to react. Or it can move us away from our relationship with God. It can move us away from our goals. It can move us away from answered prayers. And leave us wondering, why is it that our prayers has not been answered? Why is it that our prayers has not been answered? It can lead us closer to a religion and separate us from a true, loving relationship with our Father. How many married people do we have that's listening to the broadcast right now, that's in the chat rooms right now? How many married people are listening by archive right now? How many of you can honestly say that if your marriage, that you've been in this marriage and it never seems to grow, it never seems to go any closer. You never get to know your partner any better. Year after year after year. Nothing new. You learn nothing more about them. There's no communication. But you get up and you can go outside and you participate in things together every now and then. and you smile, and the whole world thinks, well, look at Jim and Joe. Don't they look so cute together? They're just a perfect little match. But Jim doesn't even know what her favorite show is. Joe don't even know what it is that really makes her husband smile. Can you understand that that is not a true relationship? That's not a flourishing relationship. That's not a relationship that would has a true foundation on it. That's the way it is that sometimes we live our lives with Christ. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And he has sacrificed. The ultimate sacrifice, he gave. No one to take, he gave. For our sins to be forgiven. That we may reunite with God. Why is it that we're not wanting and willing to put the fight, fight a good, strong fight. Just don't bend down to everything that comes your way. Every sign of weakness you take. Hallelujah. Our scripture tonight. Hallelujah. It's coming from the book of Romans. Book of Romans, and it's going to be chapter 8. And we're going to read starting at chapter 28. More than conquerors, as we continue with the life, not religion. This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. I'm broadcasting tonight from San Antonio, Texas. Another hot, hot, hot night in San Antonio. We haven't received any rain. They were saying the other day, they think the last time was October. God bless. But there's a great chance that they were saying on Sunday, we may get some thunderstorms. So everyone's looking forward to that. Now, of course, what usually happens for us is that it floods or it'll rain so much, then we get into a flooding situation. But we just thank God for providing for us whatever we need, wherever we need it. I invite you to call in. I see you callers on the line. God bless you. The call-in number is 646-652-4916. And, of course, you can reach me, again, Minister Von Dumas, at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can always leave a message here at the Blog Talk. So let's get back to the Word, shall we? The Scripture says, starting at verse 28 in the book of Romans, the New Testament, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. But we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? It said, if God is for us, who can be against us? One more time. And for those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's in union, let's just say that together. If God is for us, who can be against us? One more time, and let's just put your name in there. If God is for Vaughn, who can be against Vaughn? Hallelujah. God is for you. God wants to bring you into a closer relationship with Him. The Bible tells us that 3,000 people responded to Peter's instructions and were born again that same day. We've spoke many times about repenting and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. That's what Peter was telling us, right? And then it said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. Not just unto you, but it says what? And to your children. And to all that are afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's a promise. It's a promise that He's given to you. It's a promise. Can you imagine the impact that those 3,000 people had on their nation when they returned home? Can you imagine the impact? If you respond to God's word and you repent of your sins, are you just repeating, you accept God, admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died for your sins, and then confess that Jesus is your Savior. Ask God to come and live inside of you, to allow you to walk in His righteousness, to show you the plans that He has for you. It will change your religion. You'll see what happened to you. You'll look back over your life. And as you think things over, you'll be able to say that, whoa, I am blessed. I am truly blessed. Because I remember back when how I reacted. I remember back when how I thought. I remember some of the devious things that was going on in my mind, in my heart. So I was living out. I was walking out a devious act. But I was dressed to the top. And I had a smile on my face. I had my Bible under my arm, believing, thinking devious thoughts. Or you may be the other way. You may say that I was living on the streets. I knew I was wrong, and I was trying to get everybody else that I can meet to come and join on my side. I knew I was doing wrong, so I felt better if I could recruit more people to come and live the life that I was living. Yeah, it was easy for me to stop and say that, yeah, you know, I believe in God. And I would tell them, well, come on. That's how I recruited them, by telling them I believe in God. So come on, this don't matter. Let's stick this needle in your arm. You know who I'm talking about. You said, come on, let's just run away from home. Are you a grown person taking advantage of some young child and telling them, hey, it's okay. Come and do these things with me. And you say, well, I felt better because I felt like that everyone could not look down at me because now I have got them to commit the same sinful acts that the enemy had tricked me into. So now you're allowing the enemy to use you to trick others. If you're working that hard to do wrong, I invite you to turn your life around. Admit that you are a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. Confess that Jesus is your Savior. And watch God change. Watch God do things in your life. Believe that God will make a difference in your life. I'm a witness. He'll never fail you. He will never leave you. And I don't care how long you've been in that situation that you're in. If you're still alive, he has given you by his law of grace an opportunity to change your life from religion and recognize the redemption and the greatness of a relationship with him. So if you're working that hard for the badness, wow, I want to see you just work double hard. It's going to be so easy and have so much fun to do good. It's going to be some bad times, but you're still going to know once you know that you know that you know through it all. You know that he just carries you through. And you will be able to successively win others over to Christ. Because let me explain something to you quickly here as we close. The enemy knows what power you have inside of you. And that same power that you have that you can pull people to believe you into destruction, he knows if you ever, ever, ever listen to me quickly, listen to me closely, listen to me with your spirit, open your heart to receive this word. If you ever just get a notion of how powerful you are through Jesus Christ, that you could turn the loss into the direction of our Savior, that he can save their soul, that he can save their households. If you ever get that revelation, the enemy knows it will be detrimental to what he has built up. You are the key. You hold the key, not just to you, but to your family. Not just to your kids, but your kids' kids. You are the one. You might be the firstborn amongst many in your family who's going to stand up and lead your family. Let's not fool them. Let's not get to leading someone and lead them into religion. You want them to enjoy living, enjoy life. They're going to need a relationship. That's the only strong foundation. And Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other way. He's the only way back to our Father. Ye must be born again. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a promise to you. Ye shall receive a gift, and it's the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Can you imagine the impact that you're going to make? The fire of God has ignited your heart. Right now, wherever you're at, you're feeling the fire of God all over you right now. And you must go and spread the news about your choice for your new life to all that you come into contact with. Life, not religion. The third chapter of the Gospel of John records the encounter of Pharisees that we just spoke about, Nicodemus. And with Jesus one night, the two verses that he said to Jesus, he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus replied in verse 3 to this very religious man, He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, at first glance at that passage, you may wonder why Jesus responded that way. Well, Nicodemus didn't seem to ask that question, but after closely studying it, I discovered that the word see in verse 3 is the same Greek word, irado, which means to know. That was translated know in verse 2. The same word. So the Pharisees claimed to know what was going on, but Jesus gave Nick a quick reality check that night. See, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible really makes this clear. It says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you that unless a person is born again, which means anew from heaven, from above, he cannot ever see or know, be acquainted with, he will not ever know, he will not ever experience the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. We're going to pick up on our next broadcast, continuing with a little bit more knowledge about Nicodemus. But I encourage you right now to find Nicodemus in your life. I encourage you right now to say, well, I do this and I do that, but it's a little something that I just don't think that God wants me to do. I don't think in this day and age, I just think that was for then. I think that in this day and age, he would not want me to do this. You speak as though that God is dead. You speak as though God is not still among the live and the living right here. That he's not dwelling amongst you. That he can't see what's going on in the world. So you speak and you say things like, I believe that if he knew where we were at in this age, this day and age, he will not still hold us to this or to that. Whatever your this or that is, it's a noose around your neck, and it's going to pull you under. It's a rope around your feet, and it's dragging you right now through life. And if you be honest with yourself, it's something right now that you're doing, trying to pacify yourself, trying to get yourself up out from under that feeling that you just can't seem to shake. Those deceptive thoughts that you're embarrassed about, but you just can't seem to stop the thought pattern. I come to remind you, sisters and brothers, it's because all the things that you're hiding doing in the dark, God is going to reveal that thing. And the ones that you're trying so hard not to find out about it, it's going to blow either way. You can make your choice to come to God, repent of that thing, let him cleanse you, invite him in your heart. And then once he cleanses you, and once you have accepted him, he says, you're a new creature in Christ, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. That means you don't mind. No one will have to tell what it was that you were doing in the dark, because once it's behind you and you're through with it, you're through with it. You will tell your own story. You'll be rejoicing to tell somebody how you got out of that murky clay that you were stuck in. Just like quicksand pulling you down. And when you survive and get out of things like that, you'll tell your own story. But I remind you, if you don't tell your story, it will be told. The light will shine over your darkness, and your sins will be open. The choice is yours. But God is waiting there for you. He loves you. Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Lord, He loves you. God gave His Son because He loves you. And He's waiting on you to love Him back. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, oh, I invite you to open up your heart and just receive Him today. All you have to do is say these words and then believe them, and you will be born again. It says you must be born again. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin, for all of my sin. I ask you to cleanse my heart and then make me a new person in you. And I ask you to do it right now, Father, because I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you did die on the cross just for me. And I just thank you for loving me enough to die for me. In the midst of my sins, you loved me enough to die for me. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I rejoice with you. All of the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. All of heaven is rejoicing with you, celebrating for your decision right now. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for their decision right now. Your kids, their lives can be changed because of the decision that you've just made. So if you just prayed that prayer, I send my congratulations out to you. You are that new creature in Christ. And all of heaven is celebrating for you. You have a brand new life with Jesus, and you have a bright future that's filled with great faith, was filled with great hope. You said, me? Yes, you. You. You have books to write. You have songs that you're going to sing about it now. You have places that you're going, people just waiting to hear your testimony. And they said, if it happened for her, if it happened to him, it can happen to me. You're going to be the one that persuades someone to listen that's just been talking all of their life. It's something about your word. It's going to persuade them to listen. And what you're going to be saying, speaking, is the word of God. Hallelujah. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to your bright future. It's so important that you just let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. I wish I could tell you that now it gets just totally easy. But now so you're going against the grain. You've been living with the enemy. So now you're calling them out. But remember, you have the name of Jesus. You have the blood of Jesus on your side. So the authority that was given to you is given to you the same authority that God gave to his Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is given to you. So we do it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we want to stand with you. We want to be your one that you can lean on. We want to see you grow. We want to see how God uses you to minister to others. Hallelujah. I want to hear you when you have your broadcast. Well, God bless you. Remember, Christ is thinking of you, and he only wants the best for your life. This is Evangelist Von Dumas. I'm from Tri-Anointed Ministries, and we're signing off. And we just want to leave us saying, Mama, I love you. All sisters and brothers, I love you. Everyone that's participating in this ministry, I truly love you and thank God for you. Well, God loves you, and that's the most important word that you can hear today. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Until tomorrow, bye-bye.